guys. The good news is the sprouts are done, the peas are done, the sweet corn's done, or at least some of them is done, the meat's done, the roast potatoes are doing, the potatoes are doing, so it'll be what it is. So that's afterwards. Yorkshire puddings, we won't put them until end. Is my shirt all right, Joe? Are we fine? I'm not going to... Just sometimes she's not as bad as Philip once, when Philip was leading worship, and somebody kept telling him to, so he just carried on singing. Zip is what he meant. It was. Anyway, right. I'm just going to read a couple of sentences from the Bible. And because it is Christmas after all, and we really focus on Jesus' birth when it comes to Christmas. It was interesting recently that on a chat show, somebody asked the question, why do Christians think they've got the monopoly on Christmas? It's kind of in the sentence there, isn't it? But it was asked, because not everybody knows, but these are some sentences from the Bible. It says, this is when the angels came to the shepherds. It says, but the angel says to them, do not be afraid. I bring good news that all that will cause great joy to all people. Today in the town of Bethlehem, the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. And this will be the sign. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes. That wasn't really the sign because all babies were wrapped in clothes. But it will be in a manger, a feeding trough. And then it says this, suddenly a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest heaven and on earth, peace to those whom his favour rests. See, often people just think Christmas is about a baby being born, but to God it was more than that. It was God saying, I want peace with mankind, which to us really is irrelevant, but in those days, people understood that God was kind of upset about the stuff we're getting up to. So God sent Jesus as the mediator, the peace that will come between man and God. If you are taking notes this morning, if you want a title for this, you could put, there's the coming king. Now, it's interesting that the angels came to the shepherds. Now, in those days, shepherds were renowned like fishermen are today. You know, a fisherman catches something this big when it were really that big. The shepherds exaggerate. The shepherds were known for lying. So it's interesting how the angels came to the shepherds and told them to go tell of the good news, go check out the baby and tell everybody. So we're telling a bunch of people who were known for lying to go tell everybody. But isn't that kind of true even today? But it's really hard to know who you can trust. We've just had a general election, and I'm not going to split the room in twos or threes on this one. But let's face it, there's been a lot of things said, countersaid, said against what countersaid, but were lies. There's been people saying one thing, then it were a lie, then the lie was proven to be a lie, then the proven lie was proved to be a lie, and we don't know where we stand. Oh, we're speaking truth. Well, we don't know. I know one thing about politicians and solicitors. You always know when they're lying is when they're talking. Oh. Not always, but let's face it, some do. But we've heard lies, lies, and more lies, lies, but who's telling truth? You know, only time will tell who's been speaking the truth. And in those days, when the angel says to the shepherds, go check out the baby and tell people, it were only later on, 33 years later on or so, when Jesus was dying on the cross, where people would have believed the reports of the shepherds. But the interesting thing is that Jesus said that he was truth. There's a famous line that Jesus said when he were about 33. And he says this, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Interesting statement, quite bold in fact. Jesus was saying there's no way to get to God unless you come through me. Yet, if you talk to people today, can that statement be trusted? Some say yes, some say no. And, you know, many people, even today, but back then, thought Jesus were a good teacher. Before he were a wise man. Before he were a good man. Not sure if he was God, though. That was an interesting question they were asking themselves. But it is interesting that even today, that most religions actually believe in Jesus. Most religions around the world believe in it. The only one really significantly that doesn't is Judaism. And that's because Jesus was a Jew and he came to them first, but they rejected him and they're still waiting for the Messiah. And there is another group that really doesn't accept Jesus, and that's the Jedi Knights. They are classed as a religion now because that many people put it on the census. Being a Jedi is now a religion. So if you want to go, the Force, it's, you know, it's, they don't accept Jesus, but then again, they are from a galaxy far, far away. They're not in our galaxy, but in another galaxy. But even atheists, this is interesting, even atheists believe in Jesus. Because anybody who does any, and I don't mean believe in Jesus as we do, but they believe there was a man called Jesus that came to the earth about 2,000 years ago that lived a good life and was crucified on a cross. Josephus, a Jewish historian who wrote for the Romans, actually documents there was somebody called Jesus. And he says that he went around doing miracles, doing good, teaching people, and that the Jewish people eventually killed him. So if all religions talk about Jesus and actually atheisms talk about Jesus, can he be trusted? Many of the world's religions say that Jesus is actually a way to God. They acknowledge that. Even Islam is an interesting one. Believe that Jesus is a gatekeeper to paradise. It's an interesting thought, isn't it? So even they acknowledge Jesus, but most religions in the world actually say that Jesus is one of the ways to God. Yet Jesus himself says, I am the only way to God. Which kind of puts us in a dilemma. Because if Jesus was lying when he said that is the only way to God, that means all the other religions can't trust him as a way to God. Are you following the logic here? If Jesus is a liar, then all the others have made a mistake. But if he was speaking the truth, then that should make us sit up and think. You know, I believe that Jesus is the only way because he said so. And that's really because I've reasoned it through. I'm not somebody who just jumps a big leap of faith and runs out. I've reasoned it through that Jesus could have only been the statements that he said, the things that he posed. It could have only been one of three things. It could have even been mad. Somebody was looking at me going, he is me. A liar. Or he was who he said he was. So was he mad? Well, the stuff that Jesus taught were not the words and sayings of a madman. In fact, parts of the Bible, we've built our laws upon in this nation and other nations around the world. The Sermon on the Mount is actually taken as one of the greatest moral standings for people in the world. So a madman wouldn't have said those things. So he probably wasn't mad. Was he a liar? Well, you know, that's an interesting one. People think he might have been. But if I was doing a con, and at the end of the con, they were going to crucify me, I don't know if I'd have carried that one through. I'd have gone, you know what, guys? You're right. I'm out of here. So if he wasn't mad and he wasn't a liar, then he must have been who he said he was when he said, I am the way, the truth, and life. It is another statement that Jesus boldly said. He says, the thief, talking about the devil, comes to steal, kill, and destroy. How many of us today have had things, and I don't mean property stolen from us, but people stolen from, things stolen from us, where things have been killed in our lives, and I don't mean people, but just situations where we've fallen out because of gossip or we've said something, or somebody said something about us, and relationships have been destroyed, been hurt, and been damaged. But then Jesus said this, I have come, this is the reason he came. I have come that you may have life, and life to the full. I always like this verse, because I always imagine it being life to the Pepsi Max, to the top, to everything. The problem is that sometimes people don't, they look at Christians and go, well, I don't think they're living life to the full. And I need to be honest with you, there are some Christians, believers in God, who are slightly crazy. They are. And they kind of give everybody else a bad name. But let's face it, just because there's one, well, I'll put it into politics again, just because there's one honest politician, don't mean they all are. I'll reverse that one. But just because there's an odd weirdo, and that's one thing I like about God, You don't have to be perfect to come to him. You can be quirky, odd, different. In fact, God made us all different. He made us with diversity. He made us with a reason and a purpose. But he wants us to have life. And he doesn't mean just eternal life when we die and we go to heaven. Not that. He wants us just not just when we get there, but life now here. I think that's exciting. Because some people think Christianity is really boring. And when you look at some people, they look really boring. So you assume God must be really boring. If you think Christianity is boring, take a look at Sam. He was the best player. Or me. Or some other people. Some people are very staid, but it's their character. Some people are very serious. Some people are not. Some people just have a laugh. But when it comes to Jesus, we've got to take him seriously. Jesus was actually a gift from God to all people. He says, I'm giving you this. But also God gave us all a free will, a free choice. That's one of the best gifts God ever gave us after life, was a right to choose. To choose or not to choose. It's a big question. The thing is that we're living in a world where people choose to hurt other people. We're living in a time when, I mean, someone says to me, I can't believe this, they Facebooked me and asked me who I voted for, and I went, I'm not telling you. They said, well, if you didn't vote for a particular party, I'm defriending you. And I thought, my friendship with you must be worth more than who we voted for. And it's kind of polarized people, and there's been lots of lies going around. But the truth is that people use their right to choose to hurt people. There are people you must know that are not nice people. Some are. And at Christmas, we all get together and we all pretend it's all right. And we don't let them go to the bathroom on their own in case of raiders' bedrooms and so on. But we pretend everything's all right. But after New Year, we're just glad they've gone. But sometimes people hurt people. There's two lies that many people, and even people here might have picked up and learnt and believed over the years. And these are from a song. It says, lie number one, you're supposed to have it all together. And when they ask, how are you doing? Just smile and say, never better. That's a lie that many of us live by. How are you doing? I'm all right, thanks. And yet inside we feel hollowed out, empty, damaged, hurt. Another lie that people believe is lie number two. Everybody's life is perfect except yours. I mean, have you ever gone on Facebook and wondered why everybody else is getting on with life? Why is it everybody's got the latest phone, but I don't? Why is it everyone's going on holiday and I'm not? Why is it everyone's got the happy family pictures and mine never smile? You know, mine are okay, but why is that? Because we look at other people and we believe in a lie that everybody else's life is better, is perfect except yours. And then it continues, so keep the mess and your wounds and your secrets safe behind closed doors. We believe a lie that everything should be all together, and we believe a lie that everybody else is better than us. When in reality, most people are damaged, hurt. Most people are broken, some are lonely, some people feel unloved, some people are ashamed, some people, dare I say it, wish they'd never been born. And they assume that when you become a Christian, everything gets better, but actually it don't. Being a Christian is really hard, because Jesus tells us we've got to forgive people, and we don't always want to forgive people, we want to poke them in the eye. But Jesus said, you've got to forgive them. And it's for your benefit, not theirs. You know, Jesus came to offer us life. And he came to offer us hope. And being a Christian is not easy. But it is a life with purpose and meaning. There's another verse in the Bible. Another sentence. It says that every one of us have messed up. And all of us have fallen short of God's standard. And the thing is, people say to me, Johnny, I can't come to God. I can't become a Christian because I'm not good enough. And I say to him, great, I'm not good enough and I'm a Christian. None of us were good enough. But I know this, if God can take me, and I don't want to get into my story, that's another time, take me and make some out of my life damaged and broken and just trying to get on with life and make some of it, he can do it for anybody else. And he can do it for you. the verses that I read right at the beginning. He said that the angel says to them, do not be afraid, I bring good news. And to us, good news is just anything nowadays, isn't it? You know, you've won a coupon for £5 off Marks and Spencer's stuff, and that's good news. If you shop there. Next sale is on soon, good news. But in those days, nobody had good news. Nobody had the good news. People were just damaged, broken, hurting, and there was no good news. But the word good news, the words translated from Greek into good news, actually, they can be translated too good news to be true. It's too good to be true, is this news. The good news is that Jesus came down to make peace from God to us because we'd messed up. And he knew that we needed him. He knew that we were broken, lonely, upset, whatever terminology you want to put in there. And he knew that we needed him more than he needs us. Heaven's not a place where he's going, you know what, I've got plenty of room, come on in. It's not like that. We need it, not him. Jesus is, you know, I've just put a line on end there. And at the end of it all, I checked out whether Jesus was real or not. I checked out in the politics what their manifesto said, because that's wise. Some people voted the way they voted, because they've always voted. That's up to them. But I checked it out. I read the manifestos, at least the highlights, the best points, of all parties, and made a decision on the knowledge of what they'd said. Whether it was true or not is different. But Jesus is somebody that's worth checking out. Just to say, nah. I did. I once said no. I don't want to know. My dad says to me, don't even bother with Christianity. Don't bother with anything. But I checked it out. I became a Christian. My dad actually became a Christian. I've got two brothers that's become a Christian. I've got one brother who's checked it out who's not become a Christian. That's his choice. And my sister is checking it out. Yeah, we're a big family. But the truth is, you need to check it out for yourself. Don't take my word for it, because I could be lying through my teeth. I could be just one of them preachers who's like a politician. Check it out for yourself. But one thing I do know, if you're a person who's hurting, feeling unloved, broken, messed up, lonely, damaged, maybe ashamed, or anything else, depressed, you know, you feel like you're worthless, you're no good, whatever term, Jesus will take that damage, that person who feels no good, and make something amazing of them, and build them up, strengthen them, giving them a purpose. And life is not easy. There will always be trouble. Jesus isn't get me out of trouble free card, but he's somebody who says, I'll stand with you. I'll be there through the thick and thin. Not like some people, but I'll be there. And that's it, I finished. Good. So Joe and the rest of the team are just going to come and quickly set up. So this is a moment if you need to knit to little boys, girls' room, or whatever, and then they'll sort it all out. Thank you, guys.